Good morning, everybody. Man, I am glad to be back here after 2 weeks away, and I hope you guys are glad to be back here too. And I don't just say that because that's what I'm told to get up here and say. I say it because I am glad. I've been here for the past 2 weeks, but last week was such a strange feeling to stand up and talk to nobody. I was going to put some cardboard cutouts of people like they do at the baseball games. But we didn't get to do that. But I'm glad to have you here with us this morning. Thank you for choosing Crestview Baptist Church to come worship. If you're a visitor and you're visiting with us this morning, there are cards in the pews in front of you. If you would fill one of those out and drop it in the box on the way out the door so we'd have a record of your attendance, we'd be greatly appreciated for that, just so we can get to know more about you. A few announcements as we go into this week. Wednesday night, we're still back live here again. We hadn't been in 2 weeks, but we will be Wednesday Bible study, and then youth and kids programs will be going on at 6:30 on Wednesday night. Halloween night, I had this big elaborate plan and this map drawn out, but like everything else, 2020 threw a wrench into my plan, and so my trunk-or-treat idea that I had kind of fell through because I wasn't here. We couldn't be here to push it like I wanted to. But I am going to set up close to the road, and we are going to be giving out pre-made treat bags so that way we can say that we're safe and we're giving out treat bags that set a few days before Halloween. So if anybody would like to come and just greet people and help give out candy or hang out with us, or if you want to set up a trunk just for decoration beside us and help us with that, you know, that would be awesome too. We would love to have you out here doing that, helping hand out candy. This next week, I want to remind everybody to be on time for service because time changes. So Halloween night, it's full moon, time changes. We're going to factory reset 2020. All right, so, but next Sunday, be sure you set your clocks, you fix them. We're going to fall back, so you'd be late, right? You'd be late for church if you didn't do it right. Early, you'd be early. Well, it's okay. Don't set your clocks back. Be early for church. It's all right. And right after service that week, we will have a short business meeting after service. A little farther out, November the 7th, is our Baptist Men's Breakfast, along with our WMU Fall Bazaar. So if you're a part in either one of those, we look forward to that day coming out and not just raising money, but also just shining a light for the gospel for people who come in. Because especially when you're selling things for like a fall bazaar, you may have people come in who are, you know, out shopping, out yard selling. And it's a great opportunity to just shine a light and share the gospel with people. The fall bazaar is from 8 to 12 that day. And the breakfast starts at 7 and goes until they're done serving, which is usually about 10:30, 11. But if people are still eating, then they'll still be selling. I don't think there are any more announcements. I'm just glad to have you with us, and I look forward to worshiping with you.
Thank you for being here this morning. We're glad that you are here. As Chad said, it was very different the last couple of weeks. Chad was the only one sitting in the pews, and Trey and Bruce were upstairs last week, and so they got the full force of the sermon, and they're still here, which is a good thing. I didn't run them off. That would be pretty sad that if I did, but anyway, thank you for being here. We do have some things that we need to be in prayer about. First, got to praise. Miss B called me earlier this week and said that that she was just having a rough day. Wasn't feeling the greatest. She was very weak. So I prayed with her. And she's here this morning. And she said that's all it took was being prayed. She said getting prayed for gave her the strength to get up and start moving around. And so God is still blessing us, regardless of what's going on around in the world, that God will still take care of his children. Also have a couple others. We've got sickness going around. Remember to continue to pray for Joy as she continues to heal and get better. Pray for Mr. Joe as he is continuing to get better. He is starting to get feisty again and not wanting to sit still, but he still has to a little bit. So please be in prayer for him. Continue to pray for him. Also continue to pray for Tim Curtis, Joanne's brother, recovering from shoulder surgery this past week. And then we have several others that are going through things. Sandra, as you've noticed, is not here. She is in quarantine right now. She won't be here. She's not even allowed to be around Whitey. So I told Whitey to enjoy. Yes, and I know Sandra's listening right now, but I told Whitey to go ahead and enjoy the peace and quiet he's getting at the lake house without Sandra being there to tell him everything to do. So, and she's going to get me for that, but it's going to be worth it. But continue to pray for her. Pray for Stephen as they prepare to do the bone marrow transplant, and that everything will go smoothly there, that Sandra will be able to help her brother out, and that he will continue to improve, and God will continue to show his miracles in his life. And there's many others. Just pay attention to the prayer chain as we go and pray for our services. We expected a low attendance today, but we are thankful that those of you that are here, and those that are gathering with us online or are watching online, they are still part of us. And we are still going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, no matter if there's one person in the congregation or no people in the congregation. We're still going to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we praise and thank him for that. So at this time, please join me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. We've got to pray for the world. We've got to pray for our situation here in our country. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. Chad shared that somebody shared that you can't be a Christian if you vote for a certain way. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you who to vote for. But I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I know I've said that a lot. But as a Christian, we cannot separate out different aspects of our lives. It is all or nothing. Jesus wants us 100%. And so we have to vote according to our Christian biblical convictions. Notice I said biblical convictions. There are some times that we think that something's a conviction, but it's not. It's a preference. It's a personal preference that we have. I'm not telling you to vote your personal preferences. I'm telling you to vote your biblical convictions. And that's all I'm saying about that. But we need to pray that people will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. We need to pray that people will have a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, because that's the only thing that's going to change our world. And we need to pray that Christians start acting like Christians. So at this time, please join me in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, we come before you to worship you. Dear Lord, it's because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, because of his shed blood, that we as your children are allowed to come into the Holy of Holies, come into your presence to make our petitions known. And dear Lord, we praise you for that. And dear Lord, we ask that first of all, that you receive all the honor and glory for everything that is done and said here today. That as we sing your praises, as we proclaim your word, that you will receive the glory. And dear Lord, as we gather together today here in person and also online, we thank you for your presence. We ask that your Spirit move among us this morning. That your Spirit pricks our heart and breaks it for what breaks yours. And dear Lord, we ask you this morning that you be with those that we have mentioned. That you surround Sandra and Stephen and Joe and Joy and Tim with a protective hedge. That you watch over them and strengthen their bodies. Dear Lord, we thank you for the fact that Miss B is able to be here with us this morning worshiping. And we ask you to continue to strengthen her. Dear Lord, we also ask that you give us wisdom in making decisions. That you give us courage to stand strong upon our biblical convictions. And that you give us the love for those that we come in contact with, our neighbors, so that we would love them enough to share the life-changing love of Jesus Christ with them. That we would proclaim your gospel and live accordingly so that people will be drawn to you. We ask you to bless this time. Thank you for those that are here and those that have joined us online. And it's in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. This is something that's always a little nervous for me to get up here and do this. Sandra, she likes it look so easy, but it's not. But whenever I get kind of scared and I worry about what's going to do next, I'm going to let God take care of it. That's the best I can ever do in any kind of life or anything I do. So, leading our call to worship today, and it's going to be in our white hymnal for number 379. And the name of it's Brethren, We Have Met to Worship. That's about as appropriate thing as you could ever think of. And I really like the song, and it's kind of a sing-songy kind of a thing, but it's got real pretty words, and it's well done. Would you stand, please, and join me?
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love and pray for sinners till our God makes all things new. Then he'll call us home to heaven. At his table we'll sit down. Christ will gird himself and serve us with sweet manna all around.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Didn't wear my headphones, my headset, for one reason is Artie's always picking on me about messing with it. And another reason is I had it in my hand 5 minutes before service started, but now I'm not sure where it's at. So, but it's in this room somewhere. But, No, it's not in my pocket. But anyway, I wanted to come and talk to you guys today, and the kids, if your kids would focus in, if your kids at home that are watching would focus in, I want to talk about a game. The first game that was ever played in the Bible. Does anybody have an idea? Want to know what that is? It was a game. Hide and seek. Oh, well, in the beginning, that's true. There was in the beginning. But hide and seek was the first game played in the Bible. Now you're thinking, what in the world are you talking about? So go back and think about after Adam and Eve sinned. And I can imagine they had to be terrible at it. I can imagine this, my four-year-old hiding behind my five-year-old, excuse me. But when God came after Adam and Eve sinned, he came walking through the garden, and they decided to play hide and seek with God. And guess what? They were it. They lost. But that's not the... hide and seek is a fun game to play. We had our bonfire with the youth on Friday night, and they were even playing hide and seek once it got dark, and they were having a ball with it. So hide and seek is very fun. But what if I told you to go hide, and I was going to come find you, but when you went and hid, I went and did something else? Now, parents, if you've ever had your kids do that while you do laundry, it's okay. So, and that happens. But if I told you I was going to play hide and seek and I never came looking for you, it wouldn't be a fun game. You would just be hiding for no reason. Well, as Christians, sometimes we can play hide and seek. Or maybe not as Christians, but as lost people in a lost world, we are playing hide and seek constantly. And we are like Adam and Eve. And we can come and hide from God. Maybe because we're not interested in living in a way that God wants us to, because we feel that's an inconvenience on our life. Or maybe because we made a mistake and we sinned and we feel like we want to hide that from God. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You can't hide anything from God. God is the best seeker that you'll ever play hide and seek with. But what I want to share with you is this verse in chapter 19. In Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Jesus came to this earth to live and die for us and rise again for a reason. God is not a God who sits back and thinks, well, if they come to me, they come to me. God sent Christ to seek for us. He is desiring to have a relationship with him. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I would urge you to jump out and say, "Ollie, ollie, oxen free," and let Jesus just get a hold of you. Because he is here and he is looking for us. And he's looking for lots of lost people in the world. And like Wanda said, pray for the world. When we pray, I especially want to pray for the lost world and the lost people in the world who are hiding from Jesus. But I want to encourage the kids to never try to hide from Jesus, because no matter what it is, no matter if it's because you may have messed something up or sinned and you're afraid to find out about it, he already knows, and he's just looking for you to come confess it to him. Let's bow our heads. God, thank you so much for this day, for allowing us to be here, Lord. Thank you for your many, many blessings, and just thank you for being a Savior that seeks after us. God, we pray for the world once again, Lord, for the world that seems to be hiding from your face, that they will just come out and just accept you, and we could learn as a world to all follow you and serve you. Because one day we're going to have to answer to you one way or the other. All this we ask in your name. Amen. All right, kids.
Any of you ever been in a place where you felt like that something was touching you and you didn't know what it was? But what it is the lives we live and everything that goes on in our lives is others have seen it too. And they see it in us and they know that we're struggling. But when somebody prays for you, the power of the Lord's working in them and also working in you. And it's going to happen, especially if you just wish to stay close to Him and you're wondering which way to go. Sandra asked me about doing a song today, and I said, well, the oldies and goldies. I said, well, I'll just find three. I picked out three and started, and I couldn't really find anything that kind of fit like what I was feeling. But I found this one right here, and I really like it. It's called Somebody's Praying, and it was by a fellow named Ricky Skaggs. Anybody ever heard of Ricky Skaggs? Ricky Skaggs done excellent gospel stuff. But he's a believer, and I'm hope the song says that I'm a believer also. Somebody's praying, I can feel it. Somebody's praying for me. Mighty hands are guiding me to protect me from what I can't see. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Somebody's praying for me.
Thank you, Doug. I tell you what, it does. When you hear somebody praying for you, it's a humbling experience. But when you know that you're being prayed for, it gives you the boost that you need. Just to know that somebody's taking you to the throne of grace is an amazing feeling. Well, I got some statistics to share with you this morning. This one shocked me. 57% of regular churchgoers, people that go to church on a regular basis, sit in the pews on a regular basis, 57% of those say that they have never had a life-changing religious experience. Now, depending on how you want to define that religious experience, that can be troublesome. Actually, it's troublesome no matter how you look at it, but that can be very disturbing if you consider that a life-changing experience could be coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because I know of no other greater life-changing experience than that. You cannot show me one story in the Bible where somebody didn't that met Jesus was not changed in some way. Even the rich young ruler who turned his back and walked away, his life was changed. Because even though he was not willing to pay the price of what it took to follow Jesus, the Bible says that he was discouraged. His life had been changed. The last several weeks we've been talking about the same thing. I've been preaching about making disciples, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And even last week I shared what it took to be a fruitful disciple or a fruitful Christian. And I showed 3 points. The first is that you must be strong in grace. The second is that you must make disciples that make disciples. And then the third, we must be willing to pay the price. But here's what I'm going to ask you. Have you ever tried to make something and realized that you didn't have the right ingredients? Or that you did not have the main ingredient? There are some things that you just cannot replace with something else. If you're making something and it calls for baking soda, and you don't have baking soda and you try to put baking powder in its place, is it going to work out the same? No. I love lamb. I love rack of lamb. Don't always get it, but when I do, I love it. Timothy would not try it last time I made it, so I trimmed it all off and I said, hey, try a piece of this. He goes, what is it? I said, it's steak. He ate it and said, oh, that's good. Until he found out it was lamb. Then he's like, ugh. But I cannot make rack of lamb if all I have is chicken. You guys get what I'm saying? You have to have, to be able to make certain things, you have to have certain ingredients. Well, the main ingredient for making a disciple is what we're going to talk about today. And so the title of the sermon is this. You have to be one to make one. Be one to make one. I'm sure you guys have all seen the bumper stickers from the Masonic Lodge that says, to be one, ask one. Is that what it says, Larry? To be one, ask one. Same principle. Same principle. You have to be one to make one. Okay? So if you would stand and turn to Matthew chapter 25 or 28, we're going to look at the Great Commission today. And I want to point out some things in here. But Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. And this is what it says. It's going to be on your screen as well as in your Bible if you have that. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Now let's pray. Our blessed Heavenly Father, dear Lord, it breaks my heart when I read that 57% of churchgoers don't know you as their Savior, have not had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, that breaks my heart. But dear Lord, I thank you for what you share with us in your word as we see what you spoke. Dear Lord, that we may be a true disciple of you. That we may be able to go and share what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ with others. And that we will be faithful in fulfilling your call. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ our Savior we pray. Amen. The first thing that I want us to look at in these verses is I want to look at it. Jesus gives the command to make disciples. Does it say in that verse to go and convert somebody? Does it say to go get somebody to join the church? What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples. There is a difference between being a disciple and just getting saved. There is a difference. There is a big difference. Again, look, Matthew 28:18, it says, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth.'" Jesus spoke to them. Who is he talking to? Who is Jesus speaking to at this point? Well, jump back a couple of verses to verse 16 and look at what it says in Matthew 28:16. "But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated." So who is this that he's talking to? He's talking to the remaining 11 disciples. The men that he had spent the last 3.5 years with. The ones that he started calling at the Sea of Galilee that were fishing, saying, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And then he proceeded to spend the next 3.5 years living with them, teaching them, talking to them, explaining things to them. That's who he was talking to. These men that he had poured 3.5 years of his life into. And they had gotten to a point where Jesus is getting ready to leave. He is leaving this earth. And he gives them this command. He gave them the Great Commission. So who did he give the Great Commission to? Did he give it to church members? Did he give it to just anybody? Who did he give this great commission to? He gave it to his disciples. He commanded his disciples. And his disciples were commanded to go out and do what? Make more disciples. You have heard many people say this, that we have gotten this wrong in churches today. We have got to this point. There's big push, and especially in Baptist churches, but all evangelical churches, that we evangelize, that we go out and share the gospel. And yes, that is a very important thing to do. We have been commanded to do that. But when 57% of churchgoers have not had a religious experience that has changed their life, we've got something wrong. It is more about getting somebody to the point where they say they want to accept Christ. It is more than getting somebody dunked in the water and be baptized and becoming a member of the church. And I'm going to be very blunt. There are people who named that are on our church roll that are dying and going to hell, and they belong to this church. It is more than that. When we get to heaven, he's going to ask, why should I let you in? And if we say, well, we were baptized, he's going to say, sorry. Well, I was a member of Crestview Baptist Church. My parents were a member of Crestview Baptist Church. I was a charter member of Crestview Baptist Church. He's going to say, sorry. If your answer is not, I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and my name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is the only answer that he's going to let you in on. Everything else. I was a good person. I gave so much money. Everything is not going to do it. It all fails in comparison to be the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And church, we have got it wrong for so many years. And we have pushed church membership. We have pushed baptisms. We have pushed numbers. Instead of worrying about making disciples. Remember, to be a fruitful Christian, we have to be willing to pay the price. But it starts with the fact that to be able to make disciples, we first have to be a disciple. We have to be a disciple of Jesus Christ in order to make more disciples. Well, what does that mean to be a disciple? Well, on Wednesday nights, I have started, and I apologize to those that were getting into the harmony of the Gospels, but God was telling me, you've got to change. I want you to change it. So on Wednesday nights, we're going through and talking about what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus Christ on Wednesday nights. So I am just scratching the surface here. But I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Church, you cannot understand mercy or explain mercy to someone until you have experienced mercy yourself. You cannot understand love or explain love to somebody or show love to somebody unless you've received love yourself. And you cannot understand grace or explain grace to someone until you have received grace yourself. And finally, you cannot tell somebody about Jesus. You cannot introduce them to Jesus unless you know about Him. Or you know Him. That would be like me saying, hey, I want to introduce you to President Trump. First off, I'm not going to get up to even talk to President Trump because I don't know him. If I start running toward him or walking up to him, guess what's going to happen? The Secret Service are going to jump me. And at my size, it probably will take a few of them. And those guys swarm like flies. I can't introduce you to somebody I don't know. I can introduce you to Miss B because I know Miss B. Everybody, this is Miss B. Miss B. Blanton, one of our charter members. I can tell you where she lives. I will tell you that she is one of the strongest women I've ever met in my life, that she still loves mowing her yard. But I can only do that because I know her. Church, we can't. The problem is people say all the time, I'm scared of sharing Jesus Christ. I don't know what to say. Well, I'm going to ask you something. Do you know him? Do you know him well enough to tell people about him? Have you been one of those 43% that have had a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ? If you met Jesus and you know Jesus, you can tell people about Jesus. But if you don't know him, you can't tell people. So the very first ingredient of making the disciples is to become a disciple yourself. Meet Jesus Christ. Let him change your life and get somebody to pour into you, teaching you. And that's what we want to do here in our church. Is we don't care. I don't care about our role. I don't care about how many members we have. What I care about is that we're making an impact on this world and we're making disciples. We're taking pew sitters and we're turning them into people that have fallen in love and 100% sold out to Jesus Christ and letting him change their life and in turn let them go out and share Jesus Christ. Introduce others to Jesus Christ and in turn make disciples by investing their energies, their time, everything into other people. The first ingredient is we have to know Jesus Christ. We have to be a disciple ourselves to be able to make disciples. That's one thing that this distant learning that is going on because of the pandemic. I can't help my kids do some of their homework. I can't. And many parents are in the same boat. Because I grew up 4 times 4 is 16. You just learned that. Part of your times tables. I remember having to take the time test where you had 100 questions or 100 problems that you had to solve within a minute. And you got graded. However many you got done was your grade. You guys, anybody else remember those? Okay. Now, 4 times 4 takes you 25 minutes to do. I don't understand that. So I can't help. But if they come ask me a question, I can give them the answer. I can tell them about it. But I don't understand what's going on. Church, we have people today that sit within churches that don't understand what it means to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. One of the other statistics I saw is that in the average evangelical church, someone can come into an evangelical church, and 10% of those people that attend every Sunday will never hear the words heaven or hell in the church service. That means that somebody's preaching something that's not Bible. Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ died to save us from hell, and that we will all go to heaven with Him. So you're not one of those 10% because you just heard those words mentioned in the sermon. That's the truth. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Church, somebody comes and asks you, why do you have hope? Are you ready to give them the defense? Are you ready to tell them that it's Jesus Christ making the difference in your life that is giving you that hope? That is the main ingredient. That is the only ingredient in making a disciple, is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. There is nothing that you can interchange with Him that will do the work that He will do in your life and in others' lives. Our sign out front says, "Everyone, including you, has sinned." And that is true. And because of that sin, we all deserve death. But isn't it great the fact that that verse says, "For the wages of sin is death"? That's not where it ends. Because that, the rest of that verse says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Yes, we deserve it. But because of God's grace and His mercy and what Jesus did on the cross, we have forgiveness available. We have eternal life in heaven with Jesus. Church, if there is someone here that does not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, this is my prayer. And you're going to hate me for praying this. But I pray that you're miserable. I pray that you can't sleep at night. I pray that you can't do anything. That Jesus and His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gets a hold of you and He will not let you go until He draws you to Himself. We are all broken. We are all messed up. And we can fill our lives with everything that we think that will make us happy, that will make us complete, and it will all fail. The only thing that will is Jesus Christ. When you come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that, my friends, is a life-changing experience. That, my friend, will fill the emptiness in your heart. Will all the pain go away? No. But He's going to be there to bear the pain with you. He will make the impossible possible. And He will take you to where you never thought you would be able to go. But only Jesus Christ can do that. So if you're here and you need to get right with God, do it right now. Don't wait. Don't care about what anybody else thinks. Just worry about you and God. Everything else doesn't matter. It's just you and God. Don't miss out on that one ingredient that will make the difference. As we sing this song, this is your chance to get things right with God. and to meet Jesus Christ.
Turn with us, please, to 317 in our hymnal and join us in singing. Only trust Him. It's one of the favorites, and it's just about as the truth in the whole thing is that you have to trust God.
Soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. Save you, He will save you, He will save you now. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you, He will save you now.
Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being here. May God bless you and keep you until we are able to be together again. Don't forget the different things that are going to be going on this week, with Bible study on Wednesday and youth on Wednesday, and then Saturday the trunk or treat or whatever Chad's calling it outside, as well as time changing. And then be back here next Sunday. Business meeting next week that we'll have right after the service, so please be here for that. And again, thank you for being here, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you so much for everything that you've done for us. Dear Lord, I just ask that if there is someone here or someone listening online that does not know you as their Savior, that you will not let go of them, dear Lord. That you will draw them to yourself, dear Lord, that we will be your witnesses, and that you will give us the strength and the courage to fulfill your command and go out and make disciples. Dear Lord, bless this time. Bless us as we go from this place. May we be your lighthouse. And it's in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.